No, so these are basically the threefold, if you see, conventionally we speak of the three gunas and the trigunatmak prakriti. And the Lord is beyond that prakriti, but he operates, he also enters into creation. So there is a lacuna in our metaphysical understanding that remains, that does he also get bound? So this was something which I just touched in the Bhagavat. Bhagavat tells about it very subtly, and the Gita a little more, it leaves it like he has his own maya. So he has his own nature. And here there is where we are bound and operate. So within that there is Sattva, Raja, Gun, Tamas. So Sri Aurobindo raises this question at great length in Essays on the Gita, that do these gunas also have some kind of a divine origin? Then we can connect. Otherwise, to suddenly change nature from where it is into a divine freedom will be impossible. So in that process, he says that, well, tamogun has its origin. Actually, it's there in our Puranas. For example, Shiva is tamoguni and Brahma is rajoguni and Vishnu Bhagwan is sattoguni. So basically, tamogun is the power that helps us to endure. It gives the peace and calm even on the battlefield. But here it changes into inertia. Inertia helps you to endure. I mean, so it's within the ego framework, it changes into that. And because we are talking about the triple soul forces. Similarly, the rajogun changes into the power that, you know, takes the challenge of life. And finally, we have sattugun, which changes into spontaneous intuitive knowledge. So Saraswati that way doesn't... knowledge, spontaneous intuitive knowledge. So that the way... So in Savitri, because in this framework, Saraswati doesn't come because she is a differentiated wisdom. So you want to put her somewhere, she will come into that, the Sattugun ka jo origin hai, where she is, Maheshwari is being described. And there we have two kinds of knowledge. One is the knowledge which is of essential knowledge, and the other is the knowledge which enters into very differentiated knowledge, like knowledge of the details, how a flower is made. So all these details, that is also a knowledge. So if you read the mother, she is the goddess of perfect works, but that's because she has the right knowledge, perfect knowledge. And in India, she is regarded as the goddess of learning and many-sided learning. So she comes there, very naturally she comes there, but she is not mentioned.
Tell me one thing, supposed to be the, but normally, ordinary people, Lakshmi is there,
Mahakali is there. Yes, so Maheshwari doesn't come into the picture.
Maheshwari is missing.
So that's true. So basically, if you take the names of these goddesses, they come basically in the Chandi by Rishi Markande. So, in Devi Bhagavatam or Devi Mahatma, you have Mahasaraswati, you have Mahakali and Mahalakshmi, but you don't have... They are aspects of Durga, but you don't have Maheshwari. So very often it is that there is a goddess who is in the background, not explicitly brought out. Because in Devi Mahatma is mainly about the, let me put it like this, that the general, Maheshwari is like the general who lays down the large lines. So Maheshwari will say, conceive this all and that's how it should be. Now after that, who comes into play? That's where the whole thing comes. So you will see that, Mahakali comes into play. She will just remove all that is unnecessary, cut the clutter, remove all that, clears the ground. Then comes Mahalakshmi. As things develop, she has to put them in order. And Mahasaraswati, who is then comes, last she comes to fit everything into the right place. Into So that's another kind of knowledge which... So Maheshwari is like in the background. And she's not explicitly mentioned. So that's there. Because these are... Sri Aurobindo has, upgraded many of these missing links. So it's assumed that in Durga there is wisdom. It is assumed. So whenever one talks about these aspects, they are straight from Devi Mahatma. So in that you have Durga, who is... They are aspects of Durga. And who is Durga? She is the embodiment of wisdom and strength. And compassion. You see aspects of Maheshwari in her. So there are different ways she has been seen. But the name is, yes, Sri Aurobindo puts everything in just the right place.
But she is the youngest.
Youngest is Mahasaraswati. Youngest is Mahasaraswati. Because she comes at the end. When the house is built, then okay, now you have to do the detailing. That's where another kind of knowledge comes. It's a knowledge, but knowledge of the minutiae, the smallest details. Where do you want to put a, you know, this frame? Where do you want to put this flower vase? Where do you want to put the book? How should you make a table? All this is like Maheshwari. So this is a knowledge which gets translated into those works, which Maheshwari is not work. It's like she's drawing the blueprint of the cosmos. But Mahasarathi goes into building all of them with that perfection. So she is a goddess of...
Somewhere it is, he has mentioned, or just my thought, that the other three depend on her.
Yes, because you may have everything, but who will take care of these small... So that's why when you go to somebody's home, it may be a very big home, and you know, everything may be very harmonious, but if nobody is there to take care of you. So Mahasaraswati arranges everything in such a caring way. She is described like that. The smallest details, there are lines in Savitri describing the mother's care of the smallest things. And that's why without Mahasaraswati you feel incomplete. Yeah. So, yeah. Yes, so, well, because they are terms belonging to different. I mean, psychic is a term not really used in Indian thought. It comes from the Greek. So, in Greek mysticism, psychic comes as the psychological center. It also implies inner. So, wherever the word psyche, it comes like soma and psyche. That's how you have the word psychosomatic. So there are things which belong to the spiritual realm and things which belong to the physical realm. So the term comes from there. You have no equivalent terms. But we have the term Atman, which implies many things. That's the other part. So very straight meaning of Atman is self. Atma. Now, there are different schools which look at the self differently, based on their own experience. So one experience of the self is there is nothing like an individual self. There is only one self. So there is nothing like a psychic being or an individual soul, which is also regarded as a kind of illusion in the last analysis. So there have been a lot of discussions and debates in Indian Vedanta based on this, that whether there isn't, like Buddha would say, even that self is not there, anatmavad. So basically, Atma in general refers to the self or the whatever that self is. Now within that, one school believes there is only one self. There is nothing like you have a different Atma and I have a unique individual Atman. But there is another school which believes that there is something like an individual Atman, which is also real. And it doesn't get dissolved, it is immortal. So you have the Dvaita school and the Dvaita-Dvaita school, which believe that there is something called as an individual soul. And it makes sense, because if there is no individual soul, then entire talk about yoga is superfluous, because you know there is nothing like if there is no self, individual self. So anyway, this will get dissolved. Now people try to explain it. I am aware of that ego gets dissolved and they try to fill in the blank. But then it's a mechanical process happening in nature. So the whole idea of putting an effort of even individual mukti, because this raises a question, then who gets mukti? So multiple souls comes originally from Sankhya Darshan, and among the most prominent ones, Sri Krishna accepts it and Sri Aurobindo also accepts it. Now here comes the twist. So generally, if you go to the pure Vedantic concepts, you have the self, which is Brahman. There is one reality and the Atman is there. That's how you put it. So where does this individual self come from? Does it come from there? That's how it is explained in typical Vedanta. But Sri Krishna reveals something very interesting. In the typical Vedanta, there is one self. It is reflected in the waters. So it looks like many, but there is no many. But the Gita leaves a very wonderful hint. It says, para prakriti jiva bhuta. It is the para prakriti, which is in our parlance, the divine mother. She becomes the jiva. Now, the moment you put that across, so why does she put forth the jiva? Because she is the one who is organizing the play. So for the purpose of the play, entering into it, She puts forth an individual portion in creation. There is a passage in Savitri which describes, but since she knows the toil of mind and body and life, as a mother knows her children's lives, she puts forth a small portion of herself, a being no bigger than the thumb of man, to face the pang and to forget the bliss. So psychic being is a very special formation. That's why the mother says it's unique to earth. It is like, undercover agents. The psychic being is special deputy of the divine mother, because she has created this creation for the play, for the Lord to inhabit. But then she has brought all these for a unique relation that each of us will have through the divine mother with the Lord, for the joy of multiplicity for which creation has been made. So it is something which is immersed into the play with a very specific purpose. So again, there is the jiva which she brings out, because it is, she brings out each and every aspect of the one. That's how in the supermind the origin of the jiva is there. And then when it descends into the play, it enters into creation, forgets itself, just as the divine forgets himself into the play. And then we all come together. It's like we are all on a treasure hunt, and the Lord is there, the Divine Mother is there, and we are all there, and none seems to know anything, and yet there is an intuition which is guiding us. So that's where the psychic being, through all this play, develops into a full-blown, full-fledged psychic being. So you can look at psychic being as a seed of the divine, which carries within it some specific aspect of the divine, which in the course of evolution it will manifest. So divine is the all and greater than the all, but it is meant to manifest some particular aspect of the divine. And how does she push the psychic being? It is through the swadharma. So the divine mother impels the psychic to express itself in a certain way. That's where swabhava and swadharma come into play. So in Atman, word doesn't bring all this. Atman will at the most talk about jivatma if you talk of the traditional literature. But the jivatma is not really described as the psychic being, except for two places where they don't talk about this jivatma. But in Kathopanishad, there is a description of Angusht Matra Purusha. And in Svetashvatar, there is a description that Antaha Sharire Jyotirmayo Hishubhro. If you look at it, all your things drop off. There is another description in Chandogya. There are three places where you have clear description of the psychic, but passingly. It's not really developed the way Aurobindo and the mother developed, because in this yoga it is a linchpin, because it's manifestation. If you have to escape, then it doesn't matter. See the beauty. So if you have to manifest, it is the psychic being which becomes important. So because Sri Krishna also talks of, you know, carrying the march of evolution, therefore he speaks about the individual soul, Nar Narayan. He puts it in a different way. So Chandogya says very interestingly, Bhidyate Hrid Granthi Chidyanti Sarvasanshya. So there are hints like that. If the heart strings are rend, cut asunder, all doubts vanish. People would interpret it that Purushottama is seated in the heart, but nevertheless they are passing hints. So you will not find an equivalent term. Chatya Purusha is a term coined by devotees of Sri Aurobindo and approved by Sri Aurobindo. So the soul in evolution, again, Tantra talks about soul in evolution. But man is the last after which it will cross over the veil of Maya. If you look at it like this, what is Maya? On the other side of Maya, she is Shakti. She knows, well, we have to play. And on this side, Maya creates names and forms where the one consciousness limits itself. So when you are identified with the lower Maya or ignorance, you think I am this form and name. So in human beings, the consciousness reaches a point that it can escape from this. It's regarded as a bondage. So you can escape from this ignorance that you are this name, you are this form, and enter into the original formlessness. Problem is, if that is the goal, then why all this play? So here Sri Aurobindo gives that answer, that ultimately in the form you have to manifest the divine. That's why all this drama of consciousness limiting itself in the form, and that brings us straight to the challenge of evolution. As your consciousness grows, the form becomes very stifling. You see, any person with even a developed sensitivity finds it very difficult to live the normal earthly life. It's very difficult. Now imagine somebody who is growing within to higher and higher levels. It's very difficult for the form to inhabit. It will break. So is that the last destiny? Then again, as I said, there is a question mark. So Shrivindra says, no, it has come thus far. Now the last game changer is the form itself must change to be able to adapt to the, you know, supreme consciousness. And that is the effort going on. Then only you can have a divine life. So psychic being is about the individual soul. Atman one can use in many ways, including Jivatma, which is roughly the individual soul, but it doesn't mean the same thing. Any? No. That's not what communion would mean. So somebody asked mother about this. She says, divine does not hold conversations. What it means is communion, if you go with the term. So it's like you take two bottle beakers in which they are different. In one you have water, which is pure, and the other you have of a different kind. And when you mix together, so they will begin to change its their property. So divine communion means the divine energies, the divine consciousness begins to pour into the individual. And therefore the individual begins to undergo the changes. So that is the sadharma gati. So your nature begins to change as the divine nature. And when that begins to happen, your actions, your understanding, automatically you begin to look at the same thing very differently. From the mental lens, lens of ignorance, you look at the phenomenon. That's why people say, kaha hai Bhagwan, where is God? All that. But when you look at, once the communion has taken place, you will say, where God is not? Now, it's no more an intellectual concept because you are able to see the play, understand the play. So grief passes away. So there are actual changes. You cannot grieve anymore because you are watching what is your understanding, not just watching the play like an indifferent sakshi, but you are watching and you are aware that what is happening is, where is it leading. So while of course you will have your sympathies and compassion, no, you don't become insensitive, you don't say, you know what, this is just a play. No, you don't say that because you understand the law of each one in the unfolding. So the Gita explains all this as, you know, those who know the whole. So it says those who know the whole should not misguide those who do not know the whole. So when you know the whole truth, you see, you understand that this is not just God's play in a general sense, but what is this play? Why whatever is happening? But you don't intervene. At the same time, you give a little, sometimes maybe a word, a gentle push. So is communion, where your nature begins to change into the nature of the divine. So, it's not like hearing a voice. That can happen, but Shrivindo didn't. In fact, he said even later on that things like Adesh, all these can also be, you can't rely on those things. Because the reason is, the subtlest is subtlest. The moment it takes a form, sound and word is a form. Even at the height, it's a form. So, form limits itself immediately. And first forms that start emerging is through the sound. And then as it enters into the seeker's consciousness, when it takes a body of words, picks up the language, to which we are conditioned, then it gets translated, it's gone. So one should not, it's the communication in consciousness, which is what actually happens with everyone. If you really look at life, All communications are fundamentally communications of consciousness. But because we cannot, we have not developed directly, like Mother and Shubhinda would not exchange words. And she has said, if somebody saw us and heard us, he would completely get confused, because Shubhinda would say a word or two. The mother would respond, she has gone through the entire process that is contained in it. He says, somebody, he will never understand what we are referring to. So basically, words or any form, it becomes a limitation. So that's why people who don't speak much with each other understand best. Sorry, that's a little... The more you speak, the more confusion there is. Forms. Forms limit. Because you are trying to express something. Must have noticed, no? So imagine divine is expressing something in a body of words. And what human beings have made of his words. Even where you see in the Upanishad, when there is Aham Brahmasmi, what Ravan made out of that. So it's about sadharma gati, basically. She begins to pour her consciousness. So peace, as you said, which is inside, begins to come to the surface. You don't have to really go within, try something, because it becomes a natural state. Yeah, that's what communion is. Yeah, you can say, not that one cannot, through thoughts, everything is a medium. But communion is essentially the joining together.
Same, this is Christianity also.
Yeah, it is there. This symbol is very powerfully there in Christianity, which they've forgotten. Like the sacred bread and, you know, sacrament, blood of Christ. They take wine literally. But yes, redemption by faith, all these things are there because Christianity lost the yoga. Very early. Shurbinda says only 100-150 years of Christianity, the yoga was kept. Anything, if you institutionalize, you finish it. It's finished. Because after some time, there will be a priest who will control your do's and don'ts and what you will. There will be middlemen.
So we talk and we talk of people crossing over to the supramental.
Yeah.
Mother saw so many something.
Yeah.
So the supramental, we are a little aware of what there is below, the three below. But the three above is not much talked about.
Three above means the
supramental and anandam, chaitanya.
Acha, that, huh? Because they are not organized. So what happens is, if, see, the sheets have to be individualized. It's like saying that the land next door is societies, fact, no? But still, it's not organized. So you can't stay there. So similarly, the supramental, which is talked about as Karanamaya Sharira and Anandamaya Sharira or Kosh, whatever you want to say. Now, they are not organized. So the moment an individual enters into it, he vanishes. He cannot, in earth, that is not embodied at all. So they are there. In principle, the land is like, you know, the land is yours, but the fellow doesn't give you. So you can do nothing on the land. So the supramental and ananda sheets, ultimately, that's the destiny. But right now, evolution has only individualized the mental, vital and physical sheets for man. So you can live an individual existence with these sheets. Moment you try to enter, it'll dissolve. That's what all the mystics say. But now slowly the supramental sheath is getting organized. That's what is happening today. And that's what it means crossing over. So that means first the brain and the mind will change into a supramentalized thought, mind of light. That's why Shobindo speaks about supramentalizing the over mind. It starts from there. Then slowly there will be a proper... Now once the sheath is prepared, which can stay on earth, then human beings will transit into that directly, and that's a process switching over. They need not go through the process of birth. They will leave one body, let's say a man-made or the like present human body, and those who are ready, that's what that vision means. So when they have come out of this body, they don't go through the process of death. They have two options. Maybe another 100 years, they will straight away go to a supramental sheath which are ready and start interacting with earthlings. Or right now what is happening is they are being stored I mean, in Sri Aurobindo Dham, in the subtle physical, where they stay, they are getting prepared as earth consciousness evolves. They will. So it will be no more by physical birth. That is very clear, and Sri Aurobindo and the mother has spoken of that. Because if you, the moment you are born through the physical means, so there is a lot of loss. You fall on the head. To recover, that is 20 years gone. So it takes time and lot of loss. So supramental beings will crystallize. So, and they will crystallize, even now they would be, you know, almost like operating, but not, because they have to have an individual sheath. But they will crystallize. So from this side, the human, as today, has to develop these senses to be able to relate. So when I came first time to the ashram, people were telling me that, you know, mother is not there now and this and that. So first I gave a inner thinking, array, what are you saying? Don't talk like this. Mother is always there and we have. Later on, I can share now, this is now 2003. For 3 months, so many places I was seeing mother and Sri Aurobindo, literally in their supramental bodies. It was so concrete. Then it was like, okay, now you know, okay, now you go to work. So it's like that. That it is there, they are there. But you can't convince the mind of earth, as Narad says. And it's not important to convince, because those who are being prepared through yoga, they will cross over. So crossing over on the boat means now entering into that next phase of evolution where they are ready. And now they can take on the supramental sheath, enter into it. And as more and more will come, they will crystallize into something still more little dense. And when they crystallize into more, little more dense, which where there is a meeting point, humans' consciousness becomes subtle, which is happening. I have reasons to believe. Like the appetite has come down drastically now. If you go back a generation back, activity has increased. So human consciousness is becoming subtler. And the supramental beings of the future, they are becoming more and more.
The appetite you mentioned is the indication?
Physical consciousness. See, the more you are in the densely in the physical, the more you eat. Rakshasas eat like gluttons. If you go back to your parents, then compare. I mean, I'm sure. The way they could eat was like unbelievable. Everywhere, all over the world. My mamaji could eat 50 pudis and rabdi. They lived till 90s.
40 chapatis.
That's it. So what has happened? Sexual tendencies, very paradoxically, and this is something which I was telling people. They say, "Arey pornography." This I say, "See, God will call the shot." Now that whole urge, it's like a catharsis which took place. It's almost fading away. I'm talking of data, not. So certain things which are associated with the physical consciousness, which make it very gross, animal-like, they are automatically dropping off. And I can tell you, this is an automatic process. Now it has gone into that mode. You will see more and more children who will be more and more intuitive. You will automatically see intuition will start emerging. They won't use the word, "Oh, I'm in the intuitive plane," because it's like, we don't tell, "Oh no, I'm rational and this is an animal." So these children will be naturally intuitive. They may not understand what's happening to them. And I have seen certain things which.
You remember this thing on being right up on the indigo children.
Yeah, yeah. That was the. Though they were not exactly what is. But yes, the hyperactivity in children, they were different. One thing, that there is something new which is happening. To that extent, yes. So.
The appetite is not related to the physical work which old people were used to. Many
people, like I'm talking about my mamaji, I don't know, they are not farmers. They were very much, you know, babuji job. So.
My grandfather used to have some ghee, and that's why he was very fit. But he could do that because he was doing a lot of exercise. This is what a normal way of.
This is what is told. But actual facts, if you go back, it's not that. And what a difference. You can't be doing. And now people are doing a lot of fitness exercise. But appetite in general has come down. Of course, there would be many factors. But behind it is the change which is taking place. Many things.
Awfully gross.
Yeah, yeah. Subtle emotions. See, I'll tell you, not long back. 30 years back, if a boy spoke to a girl, what was the immediate चल रहा है, कुछ चक्कर चल रहा है. अभी यू मे बी फ्रेंड वाला फ्रेंड, यू मे बी मोर देन फ्रेंड बट लेस देन गर्लफ्रेंड, यू मे बी एक्चुअली गर्लफ्रेंड बट नॉट डिसाइडिंग टू गेट मैरिड. व्हाट इज हैपनिंग? द सटल इमोशंस शेड्स दे आर कमिंग अप एंड दे स्टे ट्रू टू दैट. आई एम अवेयर ऑफ दैट. इट्स नॉट दैट दे जस्ट कीप क्रॉसिंग लाइन्स एंड पीपल आर जस्टिफाइंग. नो, देयर आर थिंग्स विच आर हैपनिंग बिकॉज शेड्स ऑफ इमोशंस आर कमिंग आउट लाइक लिटिल स्ट्रैंड्स. Which is so, consciousness is becoming subtle. That's why we see that from the hyper dose of allopathic drugs, there is a lot of demand for homeopathy, Ayurveda. Now you will see as we consciousness become more subtle, that these things will become more effective. Right now they are not because consciousness is still gross and dense. Now Ayurveda days, consciousness was different. So, but slowly it will take that. Neurodivergence, neuroplasticity, all these things are taking place. So there is a big change which is going on, and at every level actually. But brain will be the one where it will be, brain and heart will be the two organs where it will declare itself first. That's why the golden light came down into the brain. If the brain is not ready to receive the light, see, there is something called a luminous mad, and I have seen such cases. Actually, people who are, there is this girl who was intensely calling the mother, 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 then she actually went crazy. And she's very crazy when she's alone, especially at night, and she knows that these are attacks. But she's so open to mother, so wonderfully, when she's working perfect. She doesn't fit into any patient category. And so when they had brought me, I said, see, she's a luminously mad person. Don't remove her. Let her continue with the work. And she's been continuing with the work and doing well. But people won't understand. The night when she goes into that state, you know, and she says, she knows they are attacks. She says, I try to push them away. But her ego filter has gone. That's what has happened. And she knows what has happened. And she knows mother is the remedy. All this is there. You are a, you know, counselor. You know that how many will come with, you will be labeled as psychosis. Yeah.
But I think now here the play of the Maheshwari comes actually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because when the mind starts developing at the highest of the highest.
Yes, yes. Yes.
Then she comes.
Wisdom, compassion. That's why she is the first one.
Yes, yes.
She molds the mind. It's easier because it's a natural process. She can come through the heart change, can, but it's very difficult because, I mean, I know it for sure, because when the, if the Maheshwari has not, let's say, using a human term, the wisdom is not established. That's why in the Gita also, you have, bhakti comes at the end. So, and the heart bursts open. And that love emerges. You can't contain, you, like you don't understand what's happening. And you are experiencing that tremendous love, flowing, sweetness and everything. So that energy is too powerful. And the body, the system cannot contain it. So it runs into all kinds of channels. At one place, Sri Aurobindo gives a very interesting hint about vice. What he says? He says, vice is... Now, he's not saying he's an average person enjoying life in crooked ways. No, vice is something very specific. So there are some great people who have vices. Like he talks about Shakespeare stole deer, you know, or somebody was like Winston Churchill, you see. Great capacity, but some vices. He says it is abundant energy flowing into unregulated channels. But there is so much energy, and when the heart opens, you just don't know. I have seen people literally embracing trees and pillars and, you know, so this person was brought to me again. I had just come to the ashram. Pagal ho gaya. So when I talked to him, when he described, I understood. I said, see, I understand what you are going through. Please don't embrace that much, you restrain. Otherwise, police will catch you. Because he was from a foreign country. So I said, see, I understand what you are going through completely. But, you know, so he said, thank you so much. Now it's last 20 years. He's doing fine. So he gets into these, but he knows that I should not do this. If I start doing this, now imagine how much dislocation it will create if you don't understand this. So you have to learn, and mother teaches you to regulate. Once the Maheshwari working starts, it's a process. So these things have to be seen in the course of sadhana as process and not as something fixed. Yes. Yes, because it's a different thing which is happening. Maheshwari's action, I'll tell you. So people earlier used to say, "Arey, Alok ji, your topic kahan?" Maine bola, you know, actually I can share now because so many years. I experience not river, seas flowing inside. So it's difficult to just, you know, put a filter and, you know, cater to this or that. It doesn't work like that. So I just say yes, yes, when people say aise bolne thoda iske liye uske liye, I don't know. It's she who takes charge and pours. And earlier it used to be streams, rivers. I would feel that moment. It's an ocean which is flowing. So what do I do with that? I'm nobody actually. I don't exist. So she takes charge. So all this adaptation will go on. It'll take a century or two centuries for the human body and mind and brain to adapt. Heart itself can get palpitations and things because you cannot contain that love. So it's a very tricky process. She only knows. If we learn that you know, where the heart will stop. Mother used to experience this. And then people didn't understand. So Dr. Bist, you must be knowing, he was mother's physician. So he was sharing this. He said, I would tell mother, Mother, ye ho raha heart mein, and she would just laugh and say, you don't understand. And she writes all this in agenda. And she would faint. People would think that she has got outwardly a heart attack. But then it was like that flow of that love. Human heart, no, even though she is more prepared. But body is still human. And it won't contain. She talks about the mind, brain. And where she says that it was like my brain is bursting into so many directions. And I know many people nowadays, headaches who are, you know, resisting the opening. They develop these headaches.
That's right. Migraine and all that again?
Hmm?
Migraine.
Yes, yes. They call it migraine. But I have seen quite a few. They open somewhere and then they resist. So it's like that consciousness is growing. It is burst, trying to burst your... And it's not healthy to do that. Yes, yes. Ego individuality. So I keep telling them, bhaiya, khol do darwaje. But, then comes but. I said, then stay with the migraine. Or take medicine. That's the only thing you can do. Lot of these things. Because you, that narrow consciousness, stifling. And now supermind is acting in, it's not confined to only devotees or this thing, no? Wherever there is an opening, it is acting. It's a force. That's what Shobindu cautioned, that it's a force. It's not like mother, if you have taken shelter in her, she will do in her own way. But if you start invoking the force, force is force. It acts impersonally. It doesn't care who you are. Mental health? Mother was told this. She was told, she says, remarks. She says, from the reports I hear, I believe there are many cases of mad people in America. She first says that. And then she says, it is good. Very good. For the moment, it is very good. And then she says, all the old world is being smashed. This idea of normal and idealism and morality is gone. You can't, that framework is gone. So many of the children don't know how to navigate because this was the old social order, no? Prajapati ka. You know the story of Daksh Prajapati, no? So Daksh Prajapati is the one who creates social order. So in his order there is yagya, so everybody has a part. But Shiva is not invited because Shiva is free. Shiva doesn't listen to any rules. So he said, no, no, you don't come because that freedom we cannot allow. That's why you see in the ashram, mother allowed this freedom, knowing the necessity of the supramental consciousness. So many of these people are going mad because the old world paradigms are gone and there is something greater which is working. It's unsettling. I meet so many youngsters and this thing, you can't understand them from the lens of the old world. And when they confide to you, when you have to be non-judgmental completely, then they come up with things which are so amazing. Their inner life is so different. And if you see outwardly, wahi yoga Instagram pe ja rahe, this is, they are full of that. Their mind is shifting positions, running in 100 directions. I mean, this is the mother's words. He says that number of people growing mad. Then another sign she spoke was of child prodigies. You watch programs, Indian Idol and India Got Talent and all this. I just can't imagine that 7-year-old, how the child is bringing the bhava. I can understand you mechanically train. But if you look at the face and the eyes, the bhava is coming. And even the judges, ki hum log kitna practice karke karte the, how are they bringing the bhava? They have not experienced it. But there is something within that brings out. It's just amazing. Yes. So this is, if you see, go to Bhavishya Puran as well as Bhagavatam. So it says that how, when will the Kali Yuga extreme? So it's very interesting. You can interpret both ways. She says extreme of Kali Yuga is when all kinds of abnormal things will take place. IU will be shortened. People will live short. There will be many children who will die. All this it describes. Men like women and women like men. All this it describes. But what comes after Kali Yuga? Satyug. Strange. So, this is a process of breakdown. It's not just about, you know.
Kali Yuga was preparing
for it. Kali Yuga was preparing for it. So, you will see infant, children. Because now that force is, it cannot say, achha, teri mummy ko bura lagega, chhodta. Matlab, I'm just saying the force doesn't operate like that. How did Krishna destroy behind? It is he and Kali, Draupadi as Kali. Out of 18 Akshayini, only 18 survived. Can we imagine what must have happened? So transitions are like that, that the force acts, and because why it does that? Because we are attached to form. So we feel bad, ki are bichara bachcha kitna cute tha, kyun chala gaya. But for the divine force, even for nature, it's a toy which it will make again. That there is a poem of Sri Aurobindo, The Lost Boat. It says, koi baat nahi, tod dao, bana dunga. Aphorism bhi hai Sri Aurobindo ke. That a woman lost a child and she cried, complaining against God. But I saw God take that child into his breast and console the mother. There is an experience of the mother. 4-year-old child who had died. So she describes that her parents had come. And this child was with her. Means in a being. So she says they were in sorrow. And this child is in joy. She is telling, give them this flower. She literally made the mother give that particular flower. Yes. She says, but how can I describe all this? You remember the Bhagavat story? What was his name? Puranjay or something. Where the child has died. And the parents are grieving. And they come to Narad Muni. He says, you want to meet? I said, okay. So they call the child. He says, but I don't belong to you. They are shattered. See, that's where the veil of Maya comes. That we are so identified with the form, we cannot understand God's play. So yes, it will happen. Many large scale catastrophes will happen. Mother has even spoken of that. There is a kind of layer of humanity which is just refusing to change. She speaks of this will be something like the last judgment. So she says large section of humanity, and she uses the word, it is an abortive attempt. Now, I'll tell you another example. All this was known to us in certain ways. When Vyas Rishi is invited, there are two occasions where he says that kill this baby. One of them was Shishupal. And the other is when Duryodhan comes. He says kill this child. Now, you know, That's he's seeing into the future. But can a parent ever do that? That's where the veil of ignorance comes in. So it's a different story at two different levels. If you are in that level, then there's no grief. You see bricking and remolding for better. Narad goes and sees a... Narad says, Mahatma ko dekhne ka kya laav hota hai? You know this story. Narad Muni once asked Lord, what is the advantage of satsang? So Narad says, you are a saint person, you go, you check it out yourself, give satsang to someone. So he goes. So there is a little, as he enters earth, all this pity, all this starts coming in. So he sees a bird give birth to a little baby and he says, oh, what a cute baby. And the baby opens the eyes and dies. So Narad says, So he runs away. Suddenly, you know, somebody catches him, Brahman Devta, हमारे घर में बछड़ा हुआ है. You know, a calf has been born, please come and bless. Now he goes with confidence. Hurry, hurry, hurry. As he sees the calf dies. Now he's trying to escape. And suddenly, by now, news has spread. Narad, probably Brahman Devta like that, he's roaming around. And the king sends a summon. He says, we just have a Rajkumar, please go and bless the child. Now he is afraid. He says, Lord, ye kya dikha rahe ho ki dekhne ka kya parinam hota hai? So he goes very hesitantly because he has no choice now. You know, it's king's command. He goes and sees the child and the child speaks that I am that bird and the calf. Nothing will happen now. So you are given an evolutionary shift. So we, now if you see from that angle, you will say, oh, so nice. But if you see from this side, I have letters which come on Ask Alokda even today that my kitten has died and I cannot get over the grief. I can understand because 2 days back my niece was doing the same thing. Mama crying, my kitten has died. What do I do? I say, sit down and pray. Do some sraddha, sir. Because this helps you, you feel you have done something. I said, do some sraddha ceremony and it will be fine. Some resistance, yeah.
Sometimes even meditation will feel something dissonance. At some point, it is a headache.
Yes, 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 exactly. In the beginning, it is, yes. Imagine something vast. Imagine that the whole universe is in the mother. Even if one can, doesn't matter. Take the help of imagination. So after some time, because imagination is a powerful tool, it's a tool. Nobody is saying that if you imagine endlessness, you have actually entered into it. But it's a tool given to man. So you imagine something very vast, vast, and start like everything opening and entering into the vastness. Because that is the real experience. When the mind opens, it shatters all the layers. And you enter into that vast consciousness. That is Chinnamasta, by the way. When Chinnamasta Devi slays her head, then what happens? New creation emerges. So you have below her feet the copulating couple. So she is regarded as the goddess of fertility. So the Divine Mother gives her own self to bring out the new creation. So she's the very fierce form of goddess. So one has the ego, which is symbolized in the mind, that has to go. So it is resisting in various ways, it resists. So each one has his own way, but to me, that then, whatever, long, long back, so that conceiving wideness, vastness was very helpful. And Mother has spoken about it. Vital through service. Service is the best way. And love for the mother, which grows as you begin to hear her name. So Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasana, Darshana. These are the traditional ways to grow in love for the divine. So Shravana means hear the name of the divine, the Leela of the divine. Whatever way, doesn't matter. So read books on the divine. So Shravana. Darshana, so we have the photographs, or in the inner heart, conceive the mother's presence, Shravana Darshana. Then Manan, think of the mother and what she has tried to say. Like when we reflect after reading, a passage from prayers. And then slowly the consciousness will get fixed in her. Nididhyasana. Then devotion blossoms fully. So heart must open like that, and the vital through service. There is nothing which can be comparable to serving the mother. Works. That's why in ashram so much importance. But wherever one is, one does the work only as a that this mother's work, one is doing it for the mother.
Problem is, you do it as mother's work, but then still you know that I am doing it.
That's the whole karma yoga. First start the nishkam karma. People get so agitated, oh, they want to do, it's not happening. Then you have to do nishkam karma. There is no other way. There is a path shown very clearly. The karta bhav is the last to go. But start, Shobindo says, and the Gita mentions, there are 6 steps. But if you just do nishkam karma, it itself will cut away. In fact, says it is enough to take you through. Nishkam karma. First start with that. You do your best and leave to God the rest. Don't look back on how was it. Don't start, array, result was contrary, what has happened, array, I wish. All this result-oriented work is not karma yoga. Do your best as a service. Because it's a service to the mother, you'll do your best. But leave the rest to the mother, how she will.
I was asking many so-called rich people that the society needs funds. Will you? And the old friend is mine. I was sitting at the same with the same table, and I couldn't collect any money.
Mother has said that it is so true that what you know that story. So there was a rich lady who was in the car, and the driver stopped. He was a local person, so he said, "Amma, wait," and he conveyed in Tamil that I'll go and do pranam and come back. And this is when mother is physically there. And Udar sees this, and he sees this lady is still sitting in the car. He felt like telling her that, you know what is written in the Bible? That it's easier to make a camel pass through the eye of a needle than to make a rich man turn to God. But he said, oh, what am I going to say? This is not good, not proper, improper, socially improper. Then he went to mother, describing that, mother, today I exercise self-control. She said, no, I was the one who had planted these words in your head. Had you spoken it, it is possible that she may have turned. And it is true. She says richness is, she even goes on to say, you are an exception, Pradibha. It's a special grace and some people like you. But she has said that it is really very difficult. In fact, she used the word, richness is very often a curse. So whenever you see a rich person turning to the divine and offering, I must say it's 100 salutations. It's difficult.
But you know, the funny part was that all these people are very close people. Man. You know, if I telephoned, I thought he would pay.
Paisa to.
Nothing happened.
They'll pay where the name goes.
Yeah. Then Navjanji, I asked him. He said, get the money from him when she wants to take from him.
She has gone to say this much, it's much better to take money from one person because she knew the problems that rich people bring in. You see, Birla never donated to the ashram. Ford had put a condition, mother never took it. Birla ji said that, well, I will donate provided you put a plaque in my name. Mother said, put it in Golconda on the floor. True story. So basically, because it's not, you know, you see all the mandirs, nice mandir they have built.
Yeah.
If you see, but they are known as Birla mandir. It's an irony. So very nice mandirs, but you can't get rid of that karta bhav. And here something within knows that divine ko to doge paisa wo sab chin lega. I am putting it humorously. She will not leave anything. Which is beautiful, of course, but very difficult to. Those who have nothing, theek hai, le lo ma hai kya dene ka. Kuch hone se problem hai. There is a famous dialogue. दैट जब कुछ नहीं होता है तो तुमको खोने का डर नहीं होता है बिकॉज अभी नंगा हो गया, अभी क्या लेना है भगवान इज्जत भी नहीं छोड़ते हैं, और जब कुछ भी होता है यू वांट टू होल्ड ऑन. I think chalo we'll close it. We had a lot of joy and fun.
So how do you go and ask, say, and the mother doesn't want to take from it?
Yes.
So why are you feeling bad? I was told, why are you feeling bad if the mother doesn't
correct,
want to take it?
Correct.
Not take it.
Yes.
So why are you pushing you?
Yes, absolutely. Are it is for him a benefit being given to connect with the divine. He doesn't want to, it's okay. Between divine and him. Jai Ma, Jai Ma.